Fish conformance hearing. First of all, I'm going to go through some notes that I've put together here. There's some formalities in terms of framing this particular issue, and I would like to go through that first of all. My name is L.B. Boydston. I've been designated as a hearing officer for this proceeding, which is being conducted for the purpose of consideration of conforming state law or regulation to the federal regulations regarding the take and possession of federal groundfish and the use of specific gear types in certain areas off the California coast. If you wish to provide public testimony on the current or proposed regulations, please fill out a speaker card that's available at the back of the room and to give it to Ms. Maria Vojkovich, who's here this evening assisting with this hearing. As background, the director of the Department of Fish and Game has the authority to conform state laws and regulations to the Federal Groundfish Plan or amendments thereto of the Pacific Fishery Management Council. This authority is provided under Section 7652 of the Fish and Game Code and has been used for a number of years to adopt conforming regulations, which appear at Section 189 of Title 14 of the California Code of Regulations. The Pacific Fishery Management Council has recently proposed new commercial groundfish regulations to the National Marine Fisheries Service that are expected to be implemented effective January 1st, 2003. Those regulations cover a broad spectrum of issues and are heavily influenced by the need to protect overfished groundfish species. Off California, the species of primary concern are bacacho, canary, yellow eye, and cowcod rockfishes. As I said, this hearing is for the purpose of considering the appropriateness of current conforming regulations found in Section 189 and the need to adopt new or amended regulations to conform to the PFMC groundfish plan. On the back counter, you will find two handouts that we'll use for the public comments. I want to briefly summarize those documents. If you don't have them, get a copy. The first document is basically a description of the regulatory situation. It's titled California Department of Fish and Game Public Hearing on Conforming State Law to Federal Regulations Regarding Commercial Groundfish Regulations. Attached to the document is a copy of a letter that has been sent to the appropriate legislative committees announcing this hearing and including attachments that provide information on certain of the proposed regulatory actions. These proposed actions include concurrence of existing Section 189 regulation, a proposed new Section 189.01 regulation, and a map of proposed waypoint changes to the existing cowcod conservation zones. Those zone descriptions for the CCA are found at 150.06 of Title 14. Those regulatory actions, in total, could be implemented as early as January 1st, 2003. Let me turn to this first handout again that gives the overview. And inside here you'll find reprinted Section 189 regulations. These are already in effect. This is the basic regulatory structure that is used to incorporate the federal regulations into our California regulations. This is already there. So the issue is one of confirming the appropriateness of those regulations. If you go to the next page, it says add new section 189.01. And And this would be a proposed new section for Title 14 that describes the California Rockfish Conservation Area. I'm going to come back to that in just a second because it needs more explanation. On the very back, there's three maps. The first of the three maps titled 150 Fathom Enforcement Waypoint and lines for the Calcod Closure Edition. The proposal here is you can see the new waypoints that are proposed for that area. Expand the Calcod area to conform to the rockfish conservation area parameters. First, now I want to go back to 189.01, and this pertains to the California Rockfish Conservation Area and the specific provisions there. If you were at the commission meeting today, we had a discussion about the adoption of regulations for this CRCA, I'll call it, as it applies to the recreational fishery. This evening, we're talking about the commercial provisions. There's many of the elements here are the same as we talked about earlier today. In terms of the area defined, it includes ocean waters south of 4010 near Cape Mendocino, U.S.-Mexico international border, and with certain depth restrictions specified in the regulations here. These are illustrated on the last two maps. It's a little light to see on the Xeroxing, but it basically includes waters, again, from Mendocino to the U.S.-Mexico border, offshore between 20 and 150 fathoms, except north of Point Reyes, it goes from 20 to 250 fathoms. So that's the area that's under consideration for the rockfish conservation area overall. Species restrictions that would apply in the area, and they are, except as provided in regulations, the take and possession of the following species will be prohibited. All species of rockfish: lingcod, California scorpionfish, also known as sculpin, and ocean whitefish. Exception is that these vessels can be possessed aboard vessels transiting the area with no gear in the water or as provided specifically in the regulations. There are a couple of exceptions. Now, this is a very important part. It's subsection G. It applies to gear restrictions, and this is for commercial. The following gear types are prohibited from use in the conservation area, again, as except under certain circumstances, which I'll get into. The gear types we're talking about here is all types of trawl nets, all types of fish pots or fish traps, hook and line gear with more than one hook or lure and more than 6 ounces of weight attached. Finally, all types of set, gill, and trammel nets with mesh size less than 6 inches. Now, there are the exceptions, and these were developed by the Pacific Council with input from the public, from advisory groups, and from technical team members. The exceptions is that any number of hooks and any amount of weight may be used when fishing for and possessing salmon, highly migratory species, i.e. tuna, swordfish, or California halibut. That's another species that's exempted. So again, any number of hooks, any amount of weight for those species or species groups. Secondly, set line, hook and line, and trap fishing for sablefish is allowed north of Point Reyes under a couple of conditions. In waters equal to or deeper than the deep water waypoint specified in the federal regulations, or in waters equal to or shallower than the shallow water waypoint specified in regulations. So there are some exceptions north of Point Reyes to fish between 150 and 250 fathoms for sable fish, but not for trawl gear. Let me clarify that. It just applies to set line, hook and line, and trap fishing. There's also a provision to use up to five number two or smaller hooks and up to 5 pounds of weight when fishing for and possessing sand dabs. Another exception is that set line, hook and line, and trap fishing is allowed for California scorpion fish in waters less than 50 fathoms during July and August in an area that we popularly or commonly known as the Huntington Flats. The actual coordinates are shown here, but it's basically from Point Furman down to Newport South Jetty out to 50 fathoms. There's a special fishery for scorpion fish. With regard to bottom trawl, there's an exception to allow small foot rope inside of waters 50 fathoms in depth during January and February and 60 fathoms in depth during the balance of the year, north of Point Conception, when using small foot rope. Again, I think if I missed that, you have to use small foot rope. So bottom trawling would be allowed inside 50 fathoms, north of Point Conception, if using small foot rope. And this is specifically to allow for some flatfish trawling. Another provision is that midwater trawling may be allowed in the federal regulations for widow rockfish. And that was a may. Pink shrimp trawling is allowed in the conservation area provided fin fish excluders are used consistent with California regulations. Ridgeback trawl nets must be are recognized here, but they must be used with any fin fish excluders that may be required in California regulations, which there are none at this point. Finally, federal regulations may allow for trawling during winter months in water shallower than the waypoint specified in areas north of Point Reyes, and that's a may. We don't have anything specific at this point. Now, I'd like to turn to the second document that is copied from the Pacific Council newsletter stemming from the September meeting, and this will cross your eyes, but these are the specifications and the trip limits that have been approved by the council and recommended the National Marine Fisheries Service. First of all, on the first page, it's actually page 16 of the copy. There is listed here all the council specifications or OIs for the various groundfish species. For some of these species, they're very close to status quo. For others, there are some significant differences. For Boccaccio rockfish, for the current year, we had an OI of 100 metric tons. For the coming year, the proposal is to only allow for an impact on that stock of less than 20 tons. This is a key species in these regulations because basically this OI says that there can be no directed fishing for shelf rockfish that associate with Boccaccio, that these impacts are basically bycatch mortalities, and that a lot of the regulations that we're talking about here are aimed at minimizing the bycatch of Boccaccio. This is an overfished species, one that under even these adopted regulations, is not expected to rebuild for over a century. Canary rockfish is also reduced from 93 tons in the current year to 44 tons. There's been actions primarily taken north of Cape Mendocino to keep that the catch limits for canary in line. The regulations that are proposed for California to protect Picacho are going to be effective in reducing impacts on canary as well. Dark blotch rockfish, which is primarily a trawl species, it's very close to status quo, but it is the reason for the conservation area extending out to 250 fathoms north of Point Reyes. That's where dark blotch are primarily found. Turning to page two, and this is new to the council and to California. What has happened this year is that the nearshore rockfish groups, actually the nearshore rockfish both south of Cape Mendocino and north Cape Mendocino, have been partitioned into some additional management groups and allocated between the recreational and commercial fisheries, and overall have been reduced compared to 2002. For example, on table two, this is page 17, in the first group of rows, we have specified shallow nearshore rockfish. This is a new management group. It did not exist. It does not exist this year, but is proposed for next year. Deeper nearshore rockfish, a new group. And California scorpionfish has been separated out as a management group by itself. The total OY for these nearshore rockfish, including scorpionfish, is 540.7 metric tons. This is reduced from, I believe, 662 tons in the current year. Because of this partitioning, there have been set up separate catch limits or trip limits to stay within the individual OYs. And in addition, they've been allocated specifically between recreational and commercial, as shown here. In terms of the total, 80% of this minor nearshore rockfish group south of Cape Mendocino has been allocated to the recreational fishery, 20% to the commercial. North of Cape Mendocino, there's also been allocations and OYs that are new this year and are also reduced from this year. North of Mendocino, we have it broken down for California and for Oregon. The different species in the groups are shown in the footnote to the table. And just for those folks here that are permitted fishermen for the nearshore rockfish now, these are the species for which we currently have a limited entry permit. They include black and yellow, China, grass, copper, and kelp rockfishes. So those fish are now in a management group of their own. Then the deeper nearshore group are also specified here. The next pages show the trip limits proposed for the different species groups or complexes. Pages 18 and 19 refer to the limited entry trawl. Those are the trip limits proposed. Page 20 covers the limited entry fixed gear. That's the hook and line, the pot gears. And then page 5 going over to, table 5, which is page 21, going over to 22, is the open access trip limits. And let me just run down to, it's on page 21, it's table 5. If you run down to line 34, 35, 36, it shows there that the trip limits proposed for our new nearshore rockfish groups. As you can see, the first 2 months, January, February, that the individual vessels would be limited 200 pounds for every 2 months for both the shallow nearshore and the deep nearshore, closed for California scorpion fish. Everybody's closed in March, April. Fishery reopens May, June at 400 pounds for 2 months for the shallow, 200 pounds for the deep, and so forth across the table. These are new.
Can we ask a question?
Just 1 second. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions here, and I'm going to provide an opportunity to field some of those, because there's a lot here. Page 22, table 6 in the middle, these are estimates of impact from the adopted regulations on overfished groundfish. And in the second column, it lists Boccaccio. That's the species that's really driving these regulations. You can see an estimated impact of 10.33 tons, metric tons, and this is all bycatch mortality. And it's broken down here, you can see, by different sectors, with the largest impact coming in the recreational fishery, and this is estimated bycatch mortality in the recreational fishery while prosecuting nearshore species. It's not directed fishing, it's bycatch. I'm just about done here. On the final pages, we've just provided here the current trip limits. These are the final trip limits for the current season, and they're just displayed here for comparison. Okay, this is the point on the agenda where I'm going to give Mr. Strickland an opportunity and others to ask questions, try to clarify these regulations. Now, they are very complicated, I will admit it, and you can see it, and I'll try to respond and answer your questions as best I can. I'd like to just try to clarify regulations and not provide any comments about the actual conformance process at this point. Hold those comments for the actual public testimony part.
What is that?
We're going to do that right after this. I'd have to get some clarifying questions out, and I'll attempt to respond to them and answer your questions. And Mr. Strickland,
can you tell me the difference? And this is just because I don't know, between the open access people and the nearshore permitted people.
Yeah, the nearshore permitted, if you will, is a California regulation.
Okay.
And they are part of the open access as far as the federal regulations are concerned. So the permitted is open access.
Okay.
I'd like to know, this says that this is printed in October. It says it isn't final until published in the federal register. Is it, in fact, finalized now?
No. It's a, the federal process is now a two-part process with the council formulating its plan and submitting it to the National Marine Fisheries Service Northwest Region. That has been done. the Northwest region has prepared the regulations, and I understand have been submitted to NIMS Washington, D.C., for public comment or filing in the Federal Register for a comment period. I believe it's a 45-day comment period. That will be followed by a final rule. This year, there will be, because of the timeline involved here, there will be emergency regulations promulgated effective January 1 that will reflect the final regulations. They don't want to do this, but they are going to do an emergency rule for the first 2 months. And Maria corrected me here, and I said open access is, as far as the permitted fishermen, that the permitted fishermen are part of open access. That's not, if a permitted fisherman also has an A permit under the federal plan, they would be controlled under the limited entry portion of those regulations. But I think if you look at them, you'll see the same trip limits between open access and limited entry.
What I was trying to get a hold of is how many total fishermen are there that are going to be fishing the near shore? They're going to limit the limited access, right, from what I understand.
Right. This is something that Bob is asking about, numbers of near shore fishermen fishing for these new species groups. And currently, we're going to be taking up the restricted access issue tomorrow, but currently it's somewhere around 700, how many? 505 currently permitted nearshore fishermen under the commission regulations. And tomorrow, the commission will be taking up the restricted access and possibly reducing that number. And back there. Yeah, in the white hat.
Oh, Ellie.
Sorry, I don't have my glasses on, Kurt.
Yeah. I was just wondering here, it doesn't say the ABC for the minor nearshore for this year. It says it for 2002.
If you look, and I have to go to table one, and that's current here. I believe 662 tons. Currently, and it's going to go down to 541. They didn't print the current year's nearshore rockfish, so it is going to be, it's reduced. Other questions?
The emergency action you're talking about the first year, does that mean implementing the rockfish conservation area?
Yes. That'll be part of January 1st. For your information, the authority for the director to conform to these PFMC plans is exempt from the Administrative Procedures Act, which means that we basically just go to the Secretary of State through the Office of Administrative Law, file the regulation, or make a finding, file the regulation as appropriate, and it takes effect on whatever day we specify. Okay. Sure.
When you made up this conservation area, LB, did you talk to any of commercial guys or anybody? Or was this just, I was there at that Pacific Fisheries Management Council, and all of a sudden, boom, there's a map on the wall.
Guy, you watch the jiggle tonight. You jiggle tonight?
What's that?
You drunk?
No.
Because you ask some question, you think that mining commercial fisherman, you drunk.
That's oh, no, trust me, I ain't. I'll hit a cup for you if you want to trust
it. No, that's okay. As far as the depths that are we're discussing here, these are not new depths. In fact, this is there's been regulations already implemented for the 20 fathoms for sure, starting in I believe 2000. I believe it was the first year that we created the nearshore fishing regulations. The 150 has been talked about for a number of years in the council process. In fact, the regulations, the emergency regulations that were implemented July 1, specified the 20 and 150 and 20 and 250. Had already done so starting July 1st of this year.
When you spoke of fishing for halibut, being able to fish for halibut outside 20 and 50 fathoms or whatever, is that trawl fishing as well? Or?
Yes. Okay. Using small foot rope.
Okay.
And that's north of Conception. South of Conception, the allowable fishing area extends out to 100, but only along the mainland coast.
Okay.
Understood. South of Conception, it goes out to 100, but the islands are off limits. It has to be along the mainland coast. Kurt?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you could tell us, like, the ABCs and stuff, they keep dropping each year. I mean, like, 3 years ago, they told us that if we followed them ABCs, that would sustain our fishery, but it seems like each year it drops more and more, even though we were following it 3 or 4 years ago. And I was just wondering if you could tell us the reason it keeps going lower each year.
In the case of the nearshore rockfish, the team actually went back to the catch data that had been available since, I believe, 94, and applied the procedure that the commission has used for Cabazon and Greenling and Sheephead, used the average of catches for these recent years and took half of that. And actually, they just revisited the whole database for the nearshore rockfish. And also in that same process, partitioned out into these three new groups, where it used to be one group of minor nearshore rockfish. Now there's three groups.
I understand that there was another Boccaccio survey done recently. In fact, there was a boat, I believe it was the Excalibur, that came through Morro Bay on that survey.
Okay.
Is that going to be published anytime soon? Because I understand that a lot of this legislation is Boccaccio-driven, but that new survey shows that there's a lot of Boccaccio around.
All right. Just for your information here, with regard to Boccaccio, what National Marine Fisheries Service calls the slope survey, which normally ends at some point north of Point Conception, this year extended all the way to Mexico. And so that's what you hear about, is that the surveys have been extended into Southern California for Boccaccio. As to what they caught, I don't know. That's the slope survey. Next year, there will be a called the shelf survey, which will be trawling in this conservation zone, developing an index of abundance of all the species that occur there, including Boccaccio. That survey is also planned to be extended to Mexico, otherwise go south of Conception. There's discussions with industry about implementing some fixed gear surveys for Boccaccio to try to get a better handle on their abundance. There's also some ROV work or some photographic work going on, looking at relative abundance of Boccaccio. For example, in the Calcod Conservation Area, there's been some work done there. There's been some continued work and maybe even call it expanded work on juvenile abundance by the National Marine Fisheries Service, both off Central California and Southern California. All this is going to be adding to the database for Boccaccio and other rockfish. We're scheduled to have a complete stock assessment, a complete updated stock assessment for Boccaccio by the fall of 2003.
So let me ask you this. Say that they come to the conclusion of, wow, there's a whole bunch of Boccaccio here, lots more than we ever thought. You going to go back and reel this all in?
I hope that's the case.
Because so far, I've only been fishing about, 25, 30 years. I haven't seen anything get taken away, come back to us yet. But I'm young. Maybe it'll happen in the future. You know?
Other comments, questions?
Toby, I'm a little confused. The commission took action a couple meetings ago about conforming state managed fisheries to require observers. And there were some rumors that the California halibut fishery was exempt from that because it's not managed by the commission. Can you explain whether those guys are carrying observers or not?
Yeah.
There is voluntary on their part. Okay. And I know Guy is welcome folks on his boat, but legally there's not a nexus with either the commission regulations or the federal regulations to require California halibut trawl to take the observers. Comment or question?
Question. A decent one, too.
Okay.
This page here, I don't know, it's not numbered. Number three, up to 5, number 2 hooks, and up to 5 pounds of weight fishing for sand depths. That's commercial rigs. The sport rigs say you can use 12 hooks. The sporties are using more hooks than the commercial guys now?
Let me back up on that. There's an exception starting March. After February 28th, that's on the second page of the underlying 89.01 regulations, number 3. It says up to 5 number 2 or smaller hooks and up to 5 pounds may be used. And then it says, but refer to the federal regulations for a possible increase in numbers of hooks that may be used when fishing for sand dabs after February 28th. And specifically, that's to allow up to 12 the little hooks for sand dabs after March 1. So it would be consistent for both the sport and commercial.
So it's just not spelled out here?
No, it's not spelled out.
Can I ask the same question on the same thing? Why do they get 5 pounds of weight and we get 1?
You were at the meeting.
I don't remember. I'm asking.
It was the commercial guys specified or explained that they needed 5 pounds. This was mostly in Southern California, as I understand, in maybe the Catalina area or somewhere.
Yep.
This was what they needed to get down to the depths where they were catching.
I just needed clarity.
And the sport goes up to 2 pounds, I think.
Yeah.
2 pounds and 12 hooks.
Yeah.
Mr. Weekly?
This open access, does that include the large numbers that I see recently of unlicensed fishermen on public piers, docks, breakwalls? A lot of these places you can fish after dark, and so there are 24-hour fishing on some of these docks and breakwalls, and yet, is that part of the open access, if we're on limits? I believe there's a great deal of fish being taken in the near shore off of the breakwalls and docks, piers, public structures that you're able to fish without a license.
For sport fish.
Yes.
This is commercial talk about here.
But in your open access, that isn't being included.
But that's commercial.
Sorry.
Okay, Kurt, one more, and then we'll go into the testimony.
Yeah, I just heard something here from a few of the people, and they received a letter saying that we're going to start, as far as the observers go, we're going to have to start paying the bill for the observer on our boat.
The commission regulations, I believe it's specific there that the vessel owner does not have to provide any subsistence for the observer. If you're talking about picking up the salary, no, that's not the case. Subsistence, you don't have to pay anything for their food or so forth, nor do you have to pay for their salary. You do, however, have to reasonably accommodate them in terms of access to the fish to see what you're doing.
Well, in reference to that, how do you, like on these small inshore boats and stuff, I mean, they're not big enough to put a bathroom or anything.
Right. It's going to be a case-by-case situation. Okay. I'd like to turn to the cards now and ask folks to come up and provide input on this process. Again, this is whether to confirm our existing 189 regulations, to adopt the new 89.01 regulations, and to amend Title 14 to accommodate this expanded Calcutta conservation area. Now, it's going to be most helpful if you be specific. It's the comments that, of dislike, or I can understand that, but what's going to be most helpful if you be specific what you would like to see, and that's going to be most helpful to us. Mr. Zeke Grader, CFFA.
Thank you, LB and Maria. For the record, my name is Zeke Grader. I'm the executive director for the Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Associations. I don't have a lot to add to what's been said here tonight. I think as a matter of course, I don't think the state has a lot of choice here other than but to substantially conform without conforming to these what's been put forward by the Pacific Council. The state does, of course, risk federal preemption, would significantly deviate from it. Moreover, I think the fact is that, well, most everybody here, I think the person probably doesn't like this, no more than we like the news about what the stocks are. What we have before us was largely hammered out, as you said this afternoon, in a room by a group, and to try and come up with something that everybody thought that they could live with. With that, I think I do want to add a couple of things. One is, I think, the absolute importance of maintaining those exempted fisheries that have been put forward here, specifically because my organization represents virtually all of the organized salmon trawlers in the state of California need to maintain an exemption for the salmon trawl fishery. But another one, I think, and I really want to emphasize this one, I think is critical that we maintain, even though my organization only represents a few of these individuals, very few, that is the trawl fishery that you have spelled out, specifically the trawl fishery for halibut and sea cucumbers. This fishery, under the regulations that have been proposed here, is a clean fishery. It occurs on sandy bottoms, where the biggest disturbances to those bottoms usually come as a result of currents, not of gear. This is light gear. It's overall a clean fishery. I would certainly urge that we look at some point of getting observers on board, and I think there's some halibut fishermen here, trawlers in the audience, that would probably be more than willing to take some observers with them. So I don't think it's a problem getting the industry to do it. And I think they would probably be glad to demonstrate to you what I'm saying. But I think this is a clean fishery, and I think I would emphasize again, because I know there are some that in this anti-trawl hysteria would have you believe that somehow we're clear-cutting forest with this gear, and that may certainly be true with heavy trawl gear going over rock piles, but this is trawl gear being used specifically for flatfish on sandy bottoms. It's relatively benign, it's a clean fishery, and everything we know about the halibut, it's a sustainably harvested one, so I think it's absolutely critical that we maintain this exempted fishery for both the halibut and the sea cucumber. I'm glad to see it's here. Now, the second issue has to do with your conveyance of this conformance to not only to our state authorities, but also in conveying California's action to the federal authorities. And I think in your submittal, your transmittal of this documents, I think it's important that we again stress, and perhaps even to the members of the California congressional delegation, is that we need to have more comprehensive stock assessments. For the first time ever, we're getting stock assessments all the way to the Mexican border, looking at Picacho. This seems to be the stock that's driving everything. We know that most of those stocks are historically found south of Conception, yet we've never had any stock assessments. We don't know if the stocks are in better shape, which I think many in this room believe, or they're maybe even worse shape than what the documents say. We just don't know. We cannot continue managing fisheries on a dearth of data. So we need to have that. So I hope that this is strongly transmitted, that we have to have the money for complete and timely stock assessments. And by timely, I don't mean every 3 years. I mean every year or even biannually. Second is, I think we need to continue providing for experimental fishing. Now, some action has already been taken to date on this, and I'm glad to see we're making some progress. But I think that we need to speed it up by putting at least for California, the authority over the experimental fisheries under the southwest region of NIMS. We cannot wait around while the northwest region dilly-dallies. And we need to have this both for the commercial and recreational fishery. Because as much as many of the recreational leaders would like to, you know, build their membership by bashing commercial fishermen, the fact is that their fishery is hurting too, not because of commercial fishing, but because of problems in their own fishery. We need to provide them some sort of ability also to do some experimentation to try and see if they can't get more access to stocks without affecting those stocks that we're concerned about. And finally, I think, again, we need to stress the need for more cooperative research to be able to bring fishermen and scientists together to where we get better information. This will help put fishermen's boats to work, put fishermen to work. I think it will allow us to get better data and allow us to get it cheaper. So I hope that those three elements would be included very strongly in the letter of transmittal and also copies to our congressional delegation. Thank you.
Just for your information, we will append the public comments and our responses to that to these comments, and like what Mr. Grader has presented, there will be part of the record. Doug Obagi.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Doug Obagi. I'm with the Ocean Conservancy. Sometimes known as the bad guys. I think everyone recognizes that this is a nasty, ugly situation that really is caused because we haven't done enough to invest in the future of our fisheries, whether it's stock assessments, it's observers, it's bycatch counting, and too many good fishermen are getting hurt by the actions of a few. Unfortunately, my organization does not believe that the current regulations are enough, particularly with respect to a few exempted fisheries. I'm pleased to see that you spoke today to the commission about the spot prawn fishery. I think there are concerns that some of these fisheries could be federally preempted if the state doesn't do the right thing, so I think conforming them is right. I got to agree with Zeke that we do need to go as a unified force back to Congress and ask for more funds in terms of observers, in terms of stock assessments, and in terms of getting some people, you know, helping people out. You know, particularly galls me that retain regulations to allow some fisheries to occur that have had substantial bycatch of overfish, rockfish, and we've gotten into the situation we are because of this situation. And I hope that, you know, we will continue to move forward with better observers and better accounting for discards, because otherwise we're going to be back here again next year fighting over things getting even worse and people getting hurt even worse. Thank you.
Mr. August Phillips. Jim Basser.
Zeke said just about everything I was going to say and probably did it better than I could, so I'd just like to second his comment.
Kate Wayne.
I yield my time.
Hugh Thomas.
I'll pass till tomorrow.
Guy, you got it?
No, I ain't going to give it up. Thank you, LB, Maria. Guy Grunmar, Port San Luis, commercial fisherman. One of those exempted guys. It amazes me, people come up here and talk and probably never made a set in their life. Okay? To hear it, I have to do laps back there. Because to hear somebody say something, and I can't go there. Okay? What we need to do is focus. I've offered, and there is, guys, Bill Ward, Port San Luis, took an observer. The observer could not believe how clean the fishery was, and everything was returned to the ocean that was alive that we weren't allowed to keep. And I was able to take and change some of those regulations with Dr. Hastie's in the Pacific Fisheries Management Council meeting in Foster City because it was overlooked. It was a broad stroke, no retention of ground fish. Should have been Sebastian's. This is a very clean fish. I've put the offer to anybody that wants to ride along and watch me fish. And, fishermen don't do that. You want to come to my bedroom, it's probably a lot easier for me to get that one through than to come on my boat and watch me fish and where I do it. But we've been, pummeled here to the point where we, if we don't, we're going to be shut down. And there's some very clean fisheries. You got one bad apple in a bunch or something, and you think the whole bushel's bad. Well, I don't see that. And I've heard a lot of bashing on halibut trawlers and all trawlers. Craig Fasaro with the Oil Liaison Office in Santa Barbara will tell you and give you GIS things that the oil companies have already done, and the bottom out there in those sandy bottoms can change up to 6 feet a year, just in currents. So I don't think bashing us for, going over the bottom a little bit and with the light gear is any problem at all. I think that this whole conservation thing, it's one of the largest reserves you've ever made. And if that's what it takes, then that's what it's going to take to rebuild the stock. But I talked to Dr. Ralston today, and he's already said there's more bokkachis than what they thought they had, and they didn't list it as what Mr. Blum said. And I believe if they got the proper information, and it's kind of like what Sandy was saying, are you going to reopen it if you go out there and find out that the bokkachi don't have a problem? I mean, we've taken an awful lot of grounds away from an awful lot of people. That this is their livelihood. And closed down recreational fishing. My girlfriend's out of work, 8-month closure. She's been laid off. And now I'm done. My whole household's done. Sport and commercial. I got it from both sides here. And I don't come up here to bash the sporties. But there needs to be more information. People need to be more informed before they start talking and find out about these observers that have already been on the boats. They've been doing it for 4 months on halibut, but we invited them. So I think that this should all be taken into consideration. And like the sculpin thing you got coming up. I mean, that's going to be near shore. That's a whole nother deal. I can't even fish sculpin in the California halibut trawl grouse for the first month and a half because it ain't even open. I can't keep sculpin until the middle of June. So that leaves me 2.5 months to catch sculpin because it closes. The first month and a half of that, I can't even fish for halibut in the trawl grounds. That is what I catch in near shore fish there. I missed the first month and a half out of 4 months. Now, when we talk about nearshore tomorrow, I'll have a little bit more to say about that. That's the cheapest live fish out there, and it's going to cost me, according to what has been proposed, $700 for the permit. Now, on how much fish can I catch? 1,600 pounds? Barely going to pay for my permits. Some of this has been put together so quickly that nobody really thought about it. This way I see it. I'll talk about that tomorrow.
LB, could I have my time back?
at the end of the cards, I'll ask for any late additions.
Give me a card quick.
Tina Barnes, you indicated that you were going to donate your time, but Tina? Okay. Ilsa Newman?
I didn't turn in a card. I turned it in for you. You got it right there. I turned it in.
But it's optional.
I just came to make sure that, I won't say keep you honest because I know you're an honest man, LB, but the last time, as you will recall, the state attempted to conform to federal regulations and in fact added a word that was not in the federal regulations, which changed the meaning entirely. But what I will say for Mr. Greenmeier, and that is that I think what he was trying to say, it's not a question of livelihood, because you can't say, let's make the buffalo extinct because we don't want buffalo hunters to go out of business. That's not a good reason.
But I think what he is trying to say is, let's be factual, let's be objective, let's be complete. We're involved in a spot prawn fishery where the scientific report, tomorrow we will have the chairman of the University of California, Berkeley Statistics Department to show you what I mean about being factual, objective, and accurate. And I think that's what he was trying to say. Regardless of whose income it affects, or his girlfriend, or et cetera, that's not the point. The point is that there have been a lot of regulations. You know, I've sued the commission 9 times. You know, and you know I've won 7. So you know what I'm talking about, and you know I know what I'm talking about. And Zeke knows, too. That's the point. What everyone really is objecting to is there hasn't been the factuality, the reality, the accuracy that the regulations should be based upon.
That's it.
Donna Solomon.
Good evening. I beg everyone's forgiveness. I came straight from work to here, and it's not real pretty. I'm not real happy with myself right now. As much as I've begged for the past 5 years for good data, a brand new system from In-N-Out, volunteering to help, I would say at this time it's time to steal from the government and get the funds you need for the data, because you've been begging for it long enough. Part of my concerns that I have right now is on the conservation area. Many more questions. It's so unclear to all these fishermen, recreational as well as commercial. And I would beg you guys to get something, please, together. The phones are going off the hook at my place, and when I call the Monterey, they're very good at what they do. They try to be as knowledgeable as possible, but it's still a matter of, I'm not sure, let me transfer you. And then I'm having to call back while a boat is waiting mid-water, finding out if they're in the conservation area, what they're allowed to take through it. There's no paperwork that's really, like you said, oh, well, that's not defined there. We really need it defined, even in these in-season managements. California Fish and Game tries so hard, but it's not, unfortunately, good enough, because a lot of questions. I had a guy calling me mid-water, stopped his engines, everything, asked how many miles he had to be out for that specific, or how many depths he had to be out, if he could carry his fish through the conservation area, if he was, what is ground fish now, even to that point, because the Sebaste split, and it's no longer this or that, it's this species near shore, deep near shore. So at this point, guys were even asking, well, they said ground fish is closed. Does that mean blackhawk? They don't know. They don't understand. It's like starting from the beginning of an alphabet. So I please beg the commission to get something out there. This is a good little picture here where it says proposed rockfish conservation area, but I can't see it. And you're right, Abby. That's the first thing you did apologize for, and I appreciate it, but it doesn't help. Something color-coded. I know it's more expensive, but these guys are going to, recreational and commercial, it's going to be expensive for them to pay these fees, not just for the registration fees or for the license fees for their operators and crew members, but we're talking additional fees in court when they get ticketed because they didn't understand it. So I know it might cost you guys a couple bucks, but it costs these guys thousands if they don't understand these rules and regulations. And that's what we're getting caught up with. Guys sitting in the middle of the water calling me asking, can I get the thorny head, or oh, that's illegal, and when does it start again, and how many miles do I have to be out, or what depth, what does this conservation area really entail? It's a big unknown stage right now, and we've got a lot of confused people out there. So please, as soon as possible, get something in that's a little bit more understood. Thank you.
Donna, yeah, you're correct. It's for those of us that involved in the regulation process, I would need to take a quiz on this. And we will endeavor to get some information out to folks to try to simplify this as best we can.
And they don't even understand when they get a piece of paper saying we are modifying this particular thing, and they don't know what that thing is. They just say it's a section 2 of rule number 459, whatever. I don't know.
Good morning. Mr. Solomon, Curtis.
How you doing,
My concerns are, well, I noticed they raised our prices up to about $500. I don't know what the rationale is behind that, going from 125 to 500 for a license. Seems kind of steep. Just another ploy to get the commercial fishermen out of it, because if you look at the numbers they allow us at the beginning of the year, we're already closed down till the end of the year. Now, how are these fishermen going to afford that to begin with, and let alone, you know, survive with it, the amount of fish we're allowed to catch? It seems like, you know, they've lowered our numbers to where we can't hardly survive, but the, and on top of that, they raised our, you know, the amount of money we have to pay for our license on top of it all. That's just one of the things that I wanted to talk about. And, the other one is that it seems to me like if you wanted us out of the fishery, you know, from day one, this, you know, from 3 or 4 years ago, you've continuously dropped our numbers and everything. If you wanted us out of the fishery, it'd be a lot easier if you just tell us to close down the fishery. I don't know if it's because you don't want it to fall back on you because of what you've, you know, because you put so many people out of business, which means you'd have to help support them and everything, or if you just want to slowly kill them, because basically that's what you've done to us, is slowly, slowly put us, you know,
slow,
put us in
us.
Hardship.
Kill us.
Kill us. But you get it real slow, so we all stayed into the business and we all suffered through the whole thing. I don't understand the whole rationale behind that. Thank you.
Just to comment, tomorrow the commission will be taking up the restricted access issue and the license fee. So comments on that particular item, be here tomorrow for that particular agenda item. You can talk about the license fees. Sandy Winston.
Hi, my name is Sandy Winston. I'm a commercial fisherman, spot crawl fisherman. Everybody's here, going to all these meetings, we talk about managing our resources, when in fact, at least from my perspective, it isn't about managing the resources. 20 years ago, we had a bunch of people with soft hands and a couple years of college telling us how many fish there were in the ocean and what we needed to do to save, and we cut our fleet in half. A couple years later, they said, well, we were wrong last year, but this year we know what we're talking about. We're going to cut you back again. Then we're going to adjust the quotas again, sometimes in the middle of the month, whatever. I don't think it's driven by fisheries management. Look at the people in the room here that are making money while they're here. We got the people who work for the government. We got people that are observers and stuff. We got people that work for these environmental extremist groups that... some of them knocking down $300,000 a year salaries. The reason we're dying a slow death.
Sorry.
Well, I'm not saying that you're one of them necessarily. Maybe you're just one of the
people.
You might
be one of
180, maybe.
I guess you're underestimating her pay.
It's,
at any rate, I'm sorry.
Focus up here.
Where I'm going here is the reason that we're dying a slow death instead of all at once is because then everybody wouldn't be getting together and having meetings and getting paid by the government. You wouldn't be having people donating money to your groups to put the trawl fishermen first out of business. The next time it's going to be hooking the liners a little bit at a time. What you didn't take away, you're going to take away tomorrow. Ilson, my attorney, advised me a few years back that just to get out of the business, but I don't always listen to him. Tomorrow we're going to talk about shutting down the spot around trawl fishery. We tried to provide data to the commission, and the commission, who's in the commission? Who sits on the commission? What are their backgrounds? Most of them are from these environmental extremist groups. Why? We just hired a new guy, or a new guy was just appointed. He used to be a head of the Sierra Club. Is there a commercial fisherman up there? Not one. What is this about?
Mr. Winston, I can take your testimony, but it's really, I think these are issues that you need to take up with the commission tomorrow.
We'll talk to them tomorrow, too.
In fact, you can go ahead and fill out the card back there and get ready, and I'll take it.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you for your time.
But, as far as the spot prawn trawl, in these particular regulations, it was an assumption during the regulation process that the spot prawn trawl bycatch as Boccaccio would be close to zero based on whatever the commission does. Mm-hmm. And that was a presumption in these regulations. But as far as your fishery is concerned, they would be covered under the 50 fathoms north. Basically, it closes everything from 50 to 150 fathoms north of Conception and from 100 to 150 fathoms south of Conception under these federal regulations.
Okay.
And you'd be limited to small foot rope.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Nivoloso? Did I do that right?
My name is John Nivoloso. I just want to say a few words because it was a 100-pound for nearshore fishing for the month of January. Okay, we've been shut for 4 months already. Let's say 100 pounds for the month, 3.5 pounds. I don't want to catch this fish. The head Friday, the third Sunday, at this barbecue. See, why don't you guys not do something just to close it? Like this, the people don't got to worry about it. Come and see you in this meeting and listen to all these people. Just stay home. Because people don't got time, spend the time with the kids, with the family. Don't come here and listen to all this story with no foundation, no roots. Tomorrow they come with something else. The data they got, are they got it from? Where? I've been fishing 22 years on that card. 22 years. When you're getting my tax? But then this, they believe it, young kids, they send out 3 minutes, they come back with the water.
Yeah,
you do something right. Otherwise, close it. Why are you going to drive people crazy? Close it forever. If you think the fish is in danger, first me, say tomorrow, close tomorrow, forever. That's not my taste. And we know. Because there is a stretch of the ocean from Biggie Sur till Cap San Martin. In 1 year, maybe they fish 10 boats, maybe 10 times. So the area is all the time close by the nature. You know, close, the nature close, with 10, 15 feet swell, about 6 months of the year. So why are this restriction for? What do you guys want from us? I want to answer. What do you guys want from us?
Mr. Nogaloso, this is your opportunity to provide your comments to me, or to the hearing officer in this case, and it's about conforming to these federal regulations. They are expected to be adopted January 1st, and the regulations are restrictive, and I need to hear your comments about what to do about this.
Yeah, I know. Anybody you talk, nobody knows, nobody's fault. It's my fault. I know it's my fault, because I'm fishing. That's what it is. So, thank you.
Kathy Fosmer.
Regarding the California Rockfish Conservation Area that was presented to the GAP by California for the first time at the Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting, October and November meeting. Friday it passed as a regulatory action, and the public had one opportunity to comment. However, there is a concern that a trigger with performance standards to open up the fishery is not included in the objectives or goals. Commercial vertical hook and line or troll was also not accepted, and I'm referring to the basket traditional old method of fishing I'm sure you're familiar with that. Without them, there is no incentive for these fishermen to support conservation areas. Soon after the Channel Islands National Marine Sanctuary voted into its spatial protection, permanent closures conflict with adaptive management, and all processes are making closures in isolation of each other, setting aside areas without integration There is no combined accumulative impact assessment from regulations and these closures, or is it related to what is going on outside the area? There should be performance standards for any goals. Closed areas cannot resolve everything, a point that is not understood, yet they are promoted as Dr. Bonner's magic soap's all-in-one remedy. How many of us use one solution for everything? I brought one of those bottles. Spatial fisheries management can create an institution out of uncertainty when this should be about maintenance rather than about stopping all forms of fishing. The overgrowth and recolonization of the California sea lion is ignored in this process, and their role in chewing down these important food fishes needs to be addressed. Given the expertise on the region's management, the issues about uncertainty in management are not the same as those on the East Coast, where massive fishing exists in conflict with known limitations. On one case, the fleet is subsidized by government, and the other, the sport fishing industry, dominates. There does not seem to be a realistic understanding of the economic roles of fishing in our communities compared to other vested interests, nor is there concern with our reliance on foreign fish imports. Fishing and farming are primary industries in this location, not economic substitutes for tourism. Whale watching is good for a few making a living from that activity, but it's not a substitute for the numerous cultural fishermen that formed the original basis of the coastal communities of California. Now is when we should be tracking ocean fish resources, using all the tools available from tags to aging and fitness measures. That way we can truly identify stressed or most likely to bloom under each stage of the climate pattern. Efforts need to be put into at-sea sampling, surveys, and lab monitoring of each resource component. While there is poor understanding of both fish and fisheries, commercial fishermen can help science gain information. I should mention that what has gone on in the past few years to disrupt efforts for cooperation between science and fishermen. Fishermen need incentives to open up fisheries when a population does bloom. This would take the mystery out of management and allow fishermen and managers a chance to get back into contact, both more major objectives as I see it, and with it, planning protection would have real meaning.
Thank you. Bill James.
Good evening, LB. How are you? My name is Bill James. I'm a nearshore commercial fisherman who fishes out of Avalon. I'm going to get pretty specific, but I want to title this little talk about cumulative effects. And I want to go to page 21, and it'll be line 34 and 35. And I was involved in the process, and about a week before I got to the council meeting, I heard that we were going to divide up the nearshore minor rockfish into three components. And splitting up the nearshore minor rockfish into three separate components places an advantage to different geographical areas. But it doesn't look like it on this paper. But you guys forgot the cumulative effects. Now I hear that we're going to be going to trip limits on the state-managed fisheries tomorrow. Okay? Well, we did this without knowing we're going to the trip limits on Cabazon and Greenland and Sheepshead. Now, let's look here. South of Point Conception, which is considered a south region, you have five groups of fish that are going to be accessible to the open access nearshore guys. It's going to be shallow nearshore. It's going to be deep nearshore. It's going to be scorpion fish. It's going to be Cabazon Greenland. And it's going to be sheep's head. Now, what do we have in the south central and the north central, which is basically Point Conception to Cape Mendocino? We have just the shallow nearshore, the deep nearshore, and the Cabazon Greenland. And we're going to have the same ones. We don't get to access the scorpion fish or the sheep's head because they don't live where we live. And now we're not going to be able to go down there, because it's going to go to regional management. So I don't know exactly what the trip limits are you guys are figuring out, but I just did some basic little numbers in my head, And I have a 1,600-pound advantage of scorpions to the south, where we don't get a chance to catch any of those because they don't swim up there. And we have probably, what, 5,000 pounds of sheep's heads if they're going to be available to catch us. We don't. We have a couple of them, you know. So we really rely in the south central and the north central part of California on these rockfish. I mean, I got, you know, there's John Nevelessel, he'll tell you. And there's Tom Hafer, and there's Jim Bastler, myself, Guy, a whole host of guys, of people out of Avila, Morro Bay, that really rely on these fish. And again, you've got to go back to the cumulative effects. If you do one part, and you do that in isolation of the other part, you've got to think of the big picture here. And I know we were forced, and this came in like in a week, and we were given a number, and we... bunch of sweaty bodies in a room for a week. It was awful. But here we are doing this. And I don't know exactly, but, you know, I'd really like you to really, really look at this and try to make it fair and equitable between regions, because we're really getting hurt.
Let me just comment. You raise a very good point, and it's one that... I think you need to bring up with the commission tomorrow in terms of area management, and the council is not going to. We don't want them to get involved in this area management, and so there are going to be discussions, and there have been discussions about partitioning California. I don't want to say break it, but partitioning it into sub areas and looking at sub area allocations so as to get some more equity these catches. Hopefully you're going to help us out with this process. It's not going to be an easy one. But we were already talking about it to go to the commission, and we'd like to have your support to move forward with something like that.
So thank you. I would like you folks to stay.
That's all the cards I have. Unless there's any final comments, I'm going to adjourn this hearing, and there's one final comment from Kate.
I'm getting, I'm receiving advice from a lawyer. I should take it. I am Kate Wing with the Natural Resources Defense Council, and I'd like to keep this brief, but I want to second a couple of things that were said and clarify some of the information presented tonight. First of all, I think her name is Donna. I apologize. I've seen her testify many times. I should know her name by now. But she makes an incredibly important point, and that is that these regulations are getting ridiculously complicated. We think it's important that we take steps to conserve the resources off the coast of California, certainly. But we need to take extra steps to make sure that people understand what's happening and clarify that. And I really think that, for the most part, Carrie Wilson, Shammy Anderson, the folks like that in your office do a good job of translating legislative gobbledygook into plain English. And I think if they could take a crack at putting some inserts in with some of these announcements, that would do a great disservice. Second, I want to talk a little bit about the observer situation. Guy made a couple of comments that I want to respond to. First, just to say that I've really grown to respect Guy a lot. He has done a lot of these meetings. He provides a lot of information, and I think he's been a good addition. So I'll say that before I attack some of the things he said. When he made the comment about people being observers on his boat, and, you know, he's willing to take observers, his folks willing to take observers. And then Mr. New stood up and made a comment about, you know, how he's going to bring a statistician in tomorrow. And there is a situation when we have very small fleet sizes where if we have very limited observer coverage, I am sure that the statistician would deem that to be data that is not statistically significant enough to make assumptions about the entire size of the fleet, right? So how do we use this data, which is being collected on boats, if we can only get two or three guys to be willing to take observers on their boats?
You don't.
The state is often caught in a situation whereby they have data that they can use to make inferences with that is then attacked for being inadequate data. So people who are volunteering to take observers on their boats are getting frustrated because that data is not being used, that data can't be presented, that data can't be utilized. I think it's important for us to get as much observer data on these boats as we can, and I think it's wonderful that some of the people are so willing to take observers on their boats, and they don't have to pay for them, and the state is getting critical data. But I also think we shouldn't write off data, and we need to find ways around some of the confidentiality provisions and other situations that the state and feds are subject to that allow us to utilize small sample observer data to make inferences about where appropriate area closures should be, what types of gears, what types of methodologies, what types of fishing methods are appropriate for avoiding bycatch of groundfish. Finally, Guy made a couple of comments about Steve Ralston's data. I'm sure he's going to be able to present that tomorrow if he hasn't already. And I'd just like to state that Steve Ralston has said that, gosh, there do seem to be a few more bokashi out there than he thought there were before, so perhaps the rebuilding time, instead of being 104 years, can now be only 75. So that is a great step forward, but it certainly is not enough of a step forward that we can just throw caution to the wind and not continue to take some of the tough measures that we're going to have to take to step forward in time. And
Kate,
yeah?
What about the confirmation process?
The confirmation process?
The confirmation process. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
sure.
I want to focus back on this particular issue because I have a feeling the spot prawn issue and the data poor situation or data rich or whatever, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about that tomorrow. But if you could just focus on the confirmation process and whether we should move forward with it.
Oh, with conforming your regulations?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We think you should. And I only have one brief last statement, if only because many of you know me and know that I've fought with LB plenty of times over the last couple of years, and I don't want you to think that I am doing this in any way because I think he's going to show me any favoritism, because I know him too well to think that he ever would. But this is his very last meeting for the state of California. Whether you have loved him or hated him or both in alternating five-minute periods, I would just ask that people thank him for his hard work for the state of California over the last however many years, we're not going to say because people might be able to infer how old you are, but for a quite long period of time, and we thank you for your efforts. We may not always have agreed with you, but we certainly were glad to have someone working so hard on behalf of the state and the people of California. So, thank you.
I know you're a fair man, so you're going to give me 30 words.
I was afraid of the...
To respond.
No, you can congratulate me on my retirement. Because I'm going to retire here real quick.
You heard what I said at Al's retirement. You don't want me to repeat that here. But I don't know if it was... I can't recall if it was Socrates or John Mills that said, if you do not have sufficient evidence to make a valid judgment, don't make a judgment. So this crap about, well, we don't have enough of a sample, we don't have the statistics, but, you know, we ought to fix it so we can use insufficient sampling to make conclusions.
Okay.
That's scientifically specious and incorrect. I can't believe that someone that claims to be objective would say something like that.
Mr. New, I will provide a forum somewhere else and you guys can get together and talk about this. But, and in fact, I'll give you the speaker card for tomorrow. I'm getting ready for the spot crunch.
Well, I had to respond to that. We're supposed to be factual here.
Thank you very much, everybody, and that concludes this.